James Altman was recently interviewed by John Henry Weston of LifeSite News. As many people know, Altman is a member of the Vatican II quote church who some time ago said that Jorge Bergoglio, that is Francis, is not the Pope. Altman is correct on that matter, Francis is not the Pope. Some months ago, we posted a video in which we said that Altman made some good points on the matter of Francis, but that he needed to recognize the bigger picture, that is, that the entire Vatican II sect and all of its anti-popes are false and heretical, not just Bergoglio. The Vatican II sect is not the Catholic Church. It's the prophesied end times counterchurch. It's the Whore of Babylon, as an abundance of evidence shows. The Catholic Church still exists, but it's not the Vatican II sect under the apostate antipope Francis. We hoped that Altman would see the full truth in the bigger picture. Well, sadly, Altman hasn't gotten the point. In the aforementioned interview, he demonstrated that he is sadly extremely deceived and deluded. And he provided us with another revealing example of how John Paul II was the great deceiver, as our material explains. Here's what Altman said on June 25, 2024 about John Paul II, who was in fact a notorious false ecumenist, blasphemer, antipope, and heretic, as we document in abundant detail.
Pope St. John Paul II, somebody was talking about him since I've been here at this conference. I was with Raymond Arroyo and Jim Caviezel. I think I mentioned this story maybe two nights ago, how Raymond was describing how when he first became like part of EWTN, he had to go over to Rome and he had to go into, somebody said, you have to go in there and serve the Holy Mass for Pope St. John Paul, well, John Paul, mm-hmm. The Pope, the Holy Father. And he was like, who wouldn't feel unworthy? And he walked in, and I'm trying to use his words, he saw the Pope in almost one of those mystical states, and which would only make you feel less worthy, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you think of, I said it during a homily, this is where I said it, when you think of Holy Father John Paul II and think, why did he have to go to confession once a week minimally, if not every day? Think, what could he possibly do that would be need for confession material? But the closer, here's the way it works, the closer you do get to God, the closer you encounter him in these kinds of miracles, like that statue, the more you realize you are not worthy.
Altman repeatedly describes John Paul II as a saint. He describes him as a mystic, and he indicates that he believes that John Paul II was extremely holy and close to God. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, in light of what John Paul II did, Altman's statements are blasphemous and extremely offensive to God. Altman is very deceived. And his comments are more evidence that John Paul II was the great deceiver, as we've pointed out, whose reign and false canonization were connected to end times prophecy about the return of pagan Rome and the beast, and the evidence for that is overwhelming, as we show in our videos. As we document in detail, John Paul II was a heretic, an apostate, and a false ecumenist. He repeatedly participated in and endorsed idolatry, such as at Assisi and on many other occasions. He engaged in many publicly mortally sinful actions against the First Commandment, such as kissing the Koran, participating in pagan worship, etc. He even denied Christ in the synagogue by bowing his head as the Jews prayed for the coming of their, quote, Messiah. He taught many heresies relating to false ecumenism and non-Catholic religions. John Paul II also taught the worship of man, even officially defining Christianity as the supreme amazement at man in Redemptor Hominis number 10. So Christianity was a cult of man, according to the official teaching of Antipope John Paul II. And that's why, in fact, John Paul II repeatedly taught that every man is God, as we prove in our videos called The Antichrist Distinguishing Mark and the Temple of God and the Antichrist Located. John Paul II taught, officially, that the Son of God in the Incarnation united himself to every person. That necessarily means that every person is divinized and the Son of God. John Paul II repeatedly endorsed active participation in non-Catholic worship, which is a mortal sin that has always been condemned by the Catholic Church. He was extremely evil and heretical. In light of all these facts, what kind of, quote, Catholic would describe such a person as holy and a mystic? Only a person who sadly does not have the Catholic faith. As our material explains, John Paul II's reign fulfilled prophecy about the Antichrist and the return of the beast or pagan Rome. The evidence for that is overwhelming. To consider John Paul II to be a saint in the face of even just some of the evidence of what he did is to commit a mortal sin and be implicated in idolatry and the worship of man. Here's a section from another video in which we analyze just one heresy of John Paul II in which he taught that there are non-Catholic saints and martyrs. In the process of teaching it, John Paul II deliberately mocked St. Peter and the keys of the church. Antipope John Paul II's Ut Unum Sint also repeatedly teaches the heresy that there are non-Catholic saints and martyrs. Quote, "These saints belong to all the churches and ecclesiastical communities, which unlocked for them entrance into the communion of salvation," end quote. That's blatantly heretical. It's a denial of the Catholic dogma that there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church, that there are no non-Catholic martyrs, and that no one, even if he sheds blood in the name of Christ, can be saved unless he's in the bosom and unity of the Catholic Church. If John Paul II's statement here weren't bad enough, consider that this line in Ut Unum Sint even says that the non-Catholic sects themselves unlocked for them entrance into salvation. So according to John Paul II, not only can they be saved as non-Catholics, which is heresy, but the non-Catholic sects themselves unlocked for them entrance into salvation. Incredible. It's interesting to note that this passage is translated on the Vatican's website as, quote, "These saints come from all the churches and ecclesial communities which gave them entrance into the communion of salvation," end quote. That translation sufficiently conveys the heretical meaning, but a more precise translation reveals the full extent of the malice behind John Paul II's heretical statement. The word John Paul II actually used in Latin is reservarunt, which means unlocked. According to John Paul II, all of these non-Catholic sects not only have saints, which is heresy, but the sects themselves unlocked salvation. Well, what do you need to unlock something? You need a key or the keys. John Paul II, or rather the devil in John Paul II, deliberately chose the word meaning unlocked to mock St. Peter, the papacy, and the keys that were given exclusively to the Catholic Church. Whereas Jesus entrusted the keys only to St. Peter and the Catholic Church, the diabolical apostate Antipope John Paul II taught that all the non-Catholic sects have saints and martyrs and unlock salvation. What a blasphemy. I made reference to this blatant heresy in the State of Vacantism debate last year. Do you accept the teaching of John Paul II in Ut Unum Sint that all the different sects have saints and that the sects themselves gave them entrance into salvation? That's what he actually says. Not only can non-Catholic sects have saints, which is blatant heresy against extra-ecclesian cells, but he says that the sects unlocked for them salvation. So according to John Paul II, they have the keys to the kingdom. Do you agree with that teaching of your Pope in Ut Unum Sint number 84?
No, only Peter has the keys to the kingdom.
Okay. Here's a section from our video called Vatican II is a New Religion, which covers just some of John Paul II's heretical and mortally sinful false ecumenism. Vatican II's false teaching on joint prayer and worship with non-Catholics was endorsed by many subsequent statements of the antipopes, including Antipope John Paul II's New Catechism, paragraph 1399. His first encyclical Redemptor Hominis number 6, his encyclical Ut Unum Sint number 21 and following, the Directory for the Application of Principles and Norms on Ecumenism, and much more. In Ut Unum Sint, Antipope John Paul II goes on and on recommending and teaching the very thing that the Catholic Church has always condemned, namely, joint worship with non-Catholics. The Directory for the Application of Principles and Norms on Ecumenism, promulgated in 1993 by John Paul II and the Council for Promoting Christian Unity, is one of the most astounding documents that the Vatican II Counterchurch has produced. It's essentially a manual for how to commit sins against the faith. It explicitly recommends the very actions that were specifically condemned by the Church. In number 118, the Directory says that Catholics who attend non-Catholic churches are encouraged to take part in the psalms, responses, hymns, and common actions of the Church in which they are guests. As we've seen, this is condemned by Catholic teaching. In number 50C, it encourages Catholic religious to organize meetings among Protestants of various churches for liturgical prayer, for recollection, and spiritual exercises. This is condemned by Catholic teaching. There are many other things we could cite, including how the Directory discourages Catholics from proselytizing non-Catholics. Concerning this notoriously heretical Directory of Sin, Antipope John Paul II stated in Ut Unum Sint, "The Directory for the Application of Principles and Norms on Ecumenism, issued with my approval by the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity." This heretical Directory on Ecumenism, approved by Antipope John Paul II and the Council for Promoting Christian Unity, also makes it clear that it is implementing the teaching and principles of Vatican II. It's also interesting that when in Mortali Manimos, Pope Pius XI says that the Apostolic See has never allowed its subjects to take part in the meetings of non-Catholics, he uses the Latin word conventibus, which means meetings, assemblies, or gatherings. Well, in directly contradicting Pius XI's teaching, Vatican II uses the exact same word, conventibus, when it approved and recommended joint prayer at such meetings. There are so many examples, perhaps thousands, of the Vatican II sect's antipopes and its apostate so-called bishops and priests engaging in false ecumenism and condemned active participation in non-Catholic worship that it would take far too long to cover even a significant portion of them in this video. It's a regular occurrence in the Vatican II Counterchurch. We have documented many of these incidents in our book, videos, and articles over the years. However, I want to focus on just a few examples from Antipope John Paul II, Antipope Benedict XVI, and Antipope Francis. You will find much more on each of the antipopes in our material. In 1982, Antipope John Paul II took part in a joint service with the Anglican quote, Archbishop of Canterbury in Canterbury Cathedral. He and the notoriously heretical Anglican prayed together, prayed at the altar together, and even gave a, quote, joint blessing. That is a public mortal sin and an expression of heresy. In 1999, John Paul II went to Romania and took active part in the, quote, Orthodox liturgy with Teoctist. That is a mortal sin and an expression of heresy. He met with Teoctist on various occasions and signed a joint declaration with him. In 1999, Teoctist also revealed that John Paul II gave him a donation for the construction of a cathedral, which turned out to be $100,000. In 2018, Francis did something similar, contributing 100,000 euros toward the first Orthodox monastery in Austria. Interestingly, on January 29, 1828, the Sacred Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith declared it illicit to give alms for a schismatic church. In 1983, John Paul II went to a Lutheran church to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the birth of the heretic Martin Luther. While there, he and the Lutheran, quote, pastor prayed together before the altar, quote, blessed the congregation simultaneously, and together intoned a creed. That is a public mortal sin and an expression of heresy. We could go on and on with other examples of John Paul II's active participation in non-Catholic worship with regard to heretics and schismatics, but he did it with pagans, Jews, and Muslims as well. On April 13, 1986, John Paul II went to the Roman synagogue, took active part in the Jewish ceremony, and bowed his head as the Jews prayed for the coming of their, quote, Messiah. That's an act of apostasy. Interestingly, St. Thomas Aquinas said that if anyone were to worship at the tomb of Muhammad, he would be deemed an apostate. That's because to participate in non-Catholic forms of worship is tantamount to a profession of faith in those false religions, as we've covered. John Paul II and various Vatican II antipopes regularly committed acts of apostasy of this kind. Remember, heresy and apostasy can be manifested by deed as well as by word. John Paul II would frequently receive, quote, blessings from pagans. On August 8, 1985, John Paul II prayed with African animus, witch doctors. That's apostasy. In Africa on February 4, 1993, Channing girls treated John Paul II to a trance-inducing voodoo dance. John Paul II also organized the Assisi events and took active part in them. By organizing the Assisi events and by his active participation in them, John Paul II actually joined himself to the false worship of all the different religions at Assisi. It was a public mortal sin of the highest order and an expression of apostasy. John Paul II's career was characterized by indifferentism and participation in false forms of worship. Of course, such a public heretic and a public mortal sinner could not be a Catholic pope, let alone a saint. That's one reason that the veneration of his image by means of his invalid and false canonization is mentioned in the Apocalypse, as our material covers. When deceived members of the Vatican II Counterchurch accept the notoriously wicked apostate Antipope John Paul II as a saint, a man whose career was characterized by indifferentism, public mortal sins against the faith, and participation in false religious worship, they become implicated in his sins. Online commentators and others who consider John Paul II to be a saint are clueless, deceived, and on the road to hell.
Pope St. John Paul II.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
St. John Paul.
St. John Paul.
I'm not questioning his personal holiness.
St. John Paul II.
St. John Paul II.
Of course, St. John Paul II.
It's a term given to these teachings of St. John Paul the Great.
Two of the great saints of our times are St. Padre Pio and St. John Paul II.
Pope St. John Paul II.
Altman is another example of how defenders of the Vatican II sect are culpably ignorant of the facts concerning the Vatican II apostasy and the Vatican II antipopes. They really don't know what they're talking about. They don't realize how bad Vatican II was, how evil the Vatican II antipopes were and are, but they should know. The information is available in our material. The devil raises up many false teachers in our day who promote some truth, but false conclusions, to keep people off balance and away from an uncompromised and pure profession of the faith, which is necessary for salvation. Sadly, Altman is one of those people. We hope he converts, but he really doesn't have a clue what's happening. Beware of such people. Our material explains what's happening and what to do.